what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here, and it's Tuesday, September the 10th, 2024. Yes, today is Presidential Debate Day. It's not on the official calendar, but it's here. And joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Hello. Good morning.
And Wesley Wildman will be joining us momentarily. A lot to talk about. We've got a couple of guests coming up later in the hour, so we look forward to talking to Philip Jeragi and Debbie Wuthnow. We're going to be talking about, in particular, about the importance of a presidential election on the federal court system. So we look forward to talking, because presidents come and go, but the judges they appoint sit on the bench for hours, for years and years and years, long past the president who appointed them.
It's kind of like the pizza I had last year. Salads come and go, but the result of that pizza.
I can see the analogy.
That just stays. It just stays with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Ed, that's why you're here. you know, to put things in perspective.
That's right.
Huh? So. With pizza and salad. All right, so good morning, Weston.
Good morning. When you said salad, I immediately was shaking my head, like, where are we going? But just because you used pizza in an analogy, mm-hmm. it automatically, the analogy works.
Yes, exactly.
Pizza works.
Just a minute. Just depends on how many ingredients you got on top of
you
it.
You put on 2 pounds because you ate pizza. That's staying with you.
I have a pizza story to share, if you bear with me for a moment. My oldest
we'll
daughter,
with you.
When my oldest daughter, when she was turning one, we were going to have everybody come to the park for my daughter's birthday. And we thought, well, you know, we need to feed people. But we failed to mention to the partygoers that we were going to be providing food. And we bought 20 pizzas, large families, right? We bought 20 pizzas, and they actually gave us a couple of extra because we had such a large order. And then people showed up already having had lunch, and we had tons of leftover pizza. We were giving people boxes of pizza. We were stuck with a lot of pizza that we put in Ziploc bags and froze. And I ate a certain brand of pizza every day for about a month. And after, like, 6 weeks later, I was like, something does not feel right.
Yeah.
I was like the supersize me guy, but with pizza. Well, it was good,
yeah.
You know. But.
Yeah.
All right, so what's going on, Chris?
Well, we do need to be advised, of the Tropical Storm Francine. We started this off yesterday. This is not a repeat of Monday's program. On Tuesday, September 10th, Francine is likely to become a hurricane as people in Texas and Louisiana rush to finish preparations. Fox Weather is all over this, as well as Weather Nation. You name it, if it's a news outlet that covers weather, they are doing wall-to-wall coverage of this. And we have a lot of listeners and supporters, praise God, in the great states of Texas and Louisiana, even Mississippi, where we are here in the northeastern part of the state. We're going to get a lot of rain, probably a lot of wind. So do be advised of what's going on there. And if you have family or friends in that area, tell them to keep a check on their local broadcasters. We'll be here with updates as they develop.
Well, so the tropical storm, what's the name of it?
Francine.
Who decides the names of these things, by the way?
Is there a committee? Association of...
It's NOAA, I think.
Yeah, NOAA.
Not the person from the Bible, but the organization.
I looked up. Like, what did you say? I don't remember reading that in the scripture.
Yeah. No, I did. Yeah.
It's in the Bible.
I know it is storm and rain a lot.
During
Noah's time.
I thought it was some form of a weather joke that I just didn't know. How serious are we about this?
N-O-A-A.
It's, yes, I got it backwards. It's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
So so they named the tropical storm Francine?
I believe so, as well as maybe National Hurricane Center and some other entities.
Okay.
Now, you remember they used to always be named after women's names. That was back into, I forget when they changed that, but.
Are you serious?
It used to always be named after women. And I think the reason for that was because women sometimes just can't calm down. No, I'm sorry, ladies.
I think it was
because they used to always name ships after women,
yeah,
and anything associated with the sea,
so
like
then
a hurricane.
We moved into stereotyping. So then,
I got
I got myself in trouble.
I got you an update. As of 1979, they started getting male names. So okay. Hurricane Camille, which you experienced as a youth,
I remember.
That was back in the days when they just
69,
had ladies.
69, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've been brainwashed by the 2024 millennial that there is no such thing as a male name and a female name. So I can't tell.
Yeah, good point.
If we're serious.
They now alternate. So this is Fred. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I know, to be fair.
about storms of destruction and mayhem.
So it's Francine. This is the very next storm will be named after with an obviously male name.
A G.
The funny thing was, a few years ago, we had Hurricane Elsa, and that was after Frozen came out and was a smash hit. And it was like, you know, that's a different Elsa, girls, you know.
Well, anyway, that storm is supposed to hit
today or tomorrow.
Along the Texas-Louisiana border? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and on a serious note, let's remember those that are down there, because it's like many things in life, out of sight, out of mind, and so it's easy to forget, but at least say a prayer or be considerate of that what's taking place down there. And before we move on, in the event you want to support a good ministry that often helps those in need from a natural disaster, 8 Days of Hope, they do good work, and so they may end up being down there at some point. But Days of Hope, it's a partnership of ours, and so I follow them just to see if they end up going down there or not.
Yeah. Next story.
Well, tonight is debate night between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. It's going to be on ABC. It's going to be about 90 minutes long. David Muir is one of the moderators. Lindsay Davis is the other moderator. Just like last time, even though this is being hosted by a network, a whole bunch of other television networks are going to what they call simulcast the debate. So you don't have to watch ABC. To watch the ABC debate, you can watch it on Fox News Channel. C-SPAN's probably going to have it.
That's odd. How does that work exactly?
They did that for the Biden. Didn't they do that for the Biden debate when Biden was in it against Donald Trump?
Because ABC, owned by Disney,
right?
They're all together a separate company than
Fox.
Than Fox, for example. And are other the news networks, CNN?
I believe so. Yeah, it's going to
be a simulcast.
Yeah, there was a delay last time. Like CNN had it, and then a few seconds later, people watching the other channels got the same information. So, like, I was live tweeting or posting things that some people didn't even see or hear for like a couple of seconds or a minute or something
and
like
people
that.
People thought you were some kind of genius.
Yes.
I wonder if if Fox, for example, Fox News pays ABC. To be able to air, I mean,
I would imagine
it'd be fair.
How that works exactly?
Didn't it used to be when there's just three networks? I think they used to like a debate. I think didn't they all three carry it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was just all the
92
networks.
was the first one. I really.
But with simulcast, would that not be different than when I hear simulcast, I envision that they're just taking the actual feed from CNN with the CNN logo and the banner, like basically they're just restreaming, or are they doing their own they could be doing their own version of it.
I think your first thought is, I think maybe
that,
maybe,
yeah,
right.
Okay,
now
we'll find out.
If I'm a news outlet, that would be sufficient. If you're using my entire feed with my logo and my moderators and my news anchors,
And it's 8 o'clock central time, right?
It is Eastern? Yeah, 8 o'clock central time. It's going to be about 90 minutes, and then of course we'll have reaction.
It's 90 minutes. Kamala, this what?
They do have two bathroom breaks.
Right.
18 minutes the other day ain't going to work.
But I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, I don't think you can meet with staff during those breaks.
That is correct. Yeah, it's similar rules to the Biden-Trump debate from late spring, early summer.
June.
No hot mics, no live mics. hot mics is something we use in the broadcast world. In other words, they can't talk over one another and you hear it.
Right.
You can't have notes on the podium with you. So this will be a chance for Vice President Harris to show people that she is, in her words, capable of the job. But Donald Trump, of course, is looking to build off the support that he has, national attention, that kind of thing. It's a very close race right now with 50-some-odd days to go. And so this could be the difference that we talk about 5, 10, 20 years from now.
This is Kamala Harris's opportunity to shine. Let me tell you, if she does well tonight, I mean, I'm setting the bar really low for her. If she, you know, really, I think
lower than your bar for Biden last time.
Yes. Well, really? I'll say that probably comparable. About equal, comparable, yeah. Because President Joe Biden, obviously, he was having kind of
the cognitive side,
the cognitive decline. I'm not sure this is going to – oh, man. I'm not sure –
I'll help you. Go ahead.
I'm not sure Kamala Harris really has a place to decline from. Okay, so I think she's just going to be comparable to Joe Biden's performance. But having said that, I think most people are not expecting much. And if she does well, that's going to be a boost for her, even if it's not comparable to what John Kerry did or, you know, someone – you know, or what Hillary Clinton did, it won't matter. People are expecting her to be way down here, and if she is up a few clicks, that'll probably help her.
And that's tonight, right?
It
at
is.
What time?
It's at 8 o'clock Central. Now, the moderators...
We want all the
time sorry,
zones.
This is... I'm sorry. Yes. Let me just say, I'm looking at Fox. Mm-hmm. It says... Oh, no, I apologize. Okay. Fox News live coverage begins at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern
They're
time.
Doing the pregame.
So an hour later than the actual debate.
Now, it is possible that the network, ABC, and the moderators will do their best to try to help Vice President Harris along. And I say that because of some research that Media Research Center / Newsbusters put out yesterday, which found ABC to be the most pro-Harris of all the broadcast networks. Like, in terms of all the coverage they give towards her versus Donald Trump, it's far more in favor of Harris than it is of Donald Trump. I'll share that link on our Today's Issues Facebook page here. So, bottom line, Newsbuster says ABC is in the tank for Harris, leading some people to believe that ABC will do their best to try to help her in this debate with former President Trump.
I don't think Trump's going to let her get away. Let ABC get away with that.
It's true. He probably will.
I think if they ask real hard questions, if they come out of the chute and say, President Trump, what does it feel like to be a convicted felon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then say a softball to Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
I think he's going to say, hey, listen, you're bad people. You're nasty. It's clear that you're in the tank.
He does not seem like he's scared of doing that.
No.
He's done it before. Now, in addition to Newsbusters saying ABC is in the tank for Vice President Harris and really any Democrat running for public office, Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, pretty much made similar comments this morning on Fox News Channel. Clip one.
I mean, this is the network that places The View under its news division, after all, so maybe we shouldn't be surprised. We're certainly a long way from David Brinkley and Barbara Walters, Ted Koppel, Peter Jennings, that's for certain. Now, the question is, will ABC continue to serve as a super PAC for the Harris campaign tonight, or will they do what CNN did when they had all eyes on them in Atlanta in June for Trump and Biden, and actually, to their credit, ask relevant and fair questions that the American people cared about most on policy?
I personally expect that's what ABC is going to do. And here's why. Mm-hmm. When they're just doing their regular coverage, they don't have a huge audience. They're not really under the gun, except when conservatives are keeping track.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be people from other countries watching this.
Yeah.
They can't afford to make it look like they're, in his words, a super PAC. Mm-hmm. For Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that David Muir, is that his name?
Yeah.
And what's the other?
Lindsay Davis.
Okay.
She does the ABC News Weekend.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I think the scrutiny, that they know, those two reporters know, they'll be the moderators. They know that everybody's watching, and if they come across blatantly biased towards Kamala Harris, it's going to show.
Right.
And they will to some degree be discredited.
Right.
If they do that. So I think they'll try to be, you know, that's what happened last time. Was it CNN?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember CNN?
I thought it was well handled well.
Right. And I thought, whichever debate that was, maybe it was a Republican debate, but Lester Holt, was it Lester Holt?
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job. Yeah. So, you know, they can surprise. Yes, are the national news media, the most of them, liberal and Democrat? Yes, absolutely. You can do you can look at survey after survey. They admit that.
Yeah.
But can they still be, quote, fair and balanced, to borrow from Fox? Yes, they can do that from time to time. And yeah. I think hopefully that'll be on display tonight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. Again, the debate tonight, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time on ABC, but splashed over other.
Pretty much.
Over at other networks mm-hmm. as well. Did you guys see that James Earl Jones passed away?
My wife yesterday. Told me that this mm-hmm. morning.
Speaking of CNN.
Mississippi native, yeah. by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say he's from Mississippi.
Orca Butler.
Is that
Don't
right?
Don't ask me how to spell that, but it's Orca Butler, Mississippi.
So James Earl Jones was from Mississippi mm-hmm. and the same, not too far from where Morgan Freeman is from.
Okay.
So
hey, I really liked him as an actor. And he was, to your point, I forgot about that, that this is CNN.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
He was had the that voice. Voice.
But he was the voice of Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. He appeared in a couple of Tom Clancy movies with Harrison Ford. I mean, he was, I always enjoyed him as an actor.
93 years old.
Yeah.
But looking it up here, Babylon Bee put out something about him yesterday that was, it was positive. They weren't making fun of him.
Did he just die of natural causes?
I believe so. He was 90-something.
93 years old. He passed away, but the funny, yeah, you know, I wonder if he got paid per use of his CNN. This Ooh. Is CNN, or if he got a, you know what I'm saying?
Got a lump sum, and they said, "We'll just yeah. use it."
Yeah,
because that was for years. Mm-hmm. This is CNN.
This is CNN. Babylon Bee put out a thing yesterday. The headline was, "God announces he will now be voiced by James Earl Jones." And
oh,
it says
word.
Here, it's a natural fit, said a spokes angel shortly after news of Jones passing made the rounds. The Lord bless James Earl Jones with his awesome booming voice with an eye toward using it for his glory well into eternity. Though Mr. Jones used his voice talent to garner fame and fortune during his time spent on earth, he will now use it in service to God Almighty. Yeah. And there's a picture of him on the
Well, I'm glad I'm not the one who said that.
Yeah. James Earl Jones, by the way, he was in Field of Dreams also with Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of GIFs or GIFs yesterday showing him at that scene where he goes into the corn and he disappears.
Yeah, I did that once.
I watched the end of that movie here recently. It was
you disappeared into a field of
corn. Yeah.
Just like the movie?
Yeah. I was just walking and took a wrong turn.
He was also in The Sandlot. You remember he was the guy who owned the big dog.
The next door neighbor.
The Lion King. Mm-hmm.
He was the voice.
The voice.
Mufasa. Mufasa? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
In the Lion King movie.
Yeah.
He was a voice.
This
so.
Is not Kamala. This is Mufasa, guys.
Yeah, Mufasa.
It's Mufasa.
Not Kamala.
I only saw it once, so.
Okay. But anyway, James Earl Jones, 93 years old. You're asking, I don't know why he passed, but I mean, 93, that's a long life in anybody's book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe compared some biblical characters.
He does have a you can get an app that you can actually hear the Bible read by James Earl Jones. Like James
he's
Earl Jones
great,
reads
he's
the Bible.
Got a great voice. Mm-hmm.
Next story.
Let's mention this real quick. Tomorrow, obviously, is the anniversary of 9/11. And we had a story in the last few days here. We're going to be following it up with some special pieces. But here now is Nick Baker of Young America's Foundation. They're an organization of, obviously, young people out there that do a 9/11 Day of Remembrance on college and university campuses. And here is Nick Baker of Young America's Foundation, or YAF, talking to us about why his organization does this on campuses. Clip 10.
Nowadays, so many students just weren't old enough. It is probably like a small number of students who are even alive at the time. And so we just need to make sure that students are aware of what happened and the radical Islamic ideology behind what happened and ensuring that those lives are remembered.
Well, most of us who were alive then and adults.
If you weren't alive then.
Huh?
If you weren't alive then, you don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
Very true.
Yes, that's true. I was going to make a point, but now it makes it sound like my point is silly.
Well, I'm taking notes here because that's one for Dad, and we're going to get them back. It seems to be, we're going to get them back.
What I was trying to say is that for young people who might have been alive but were too young to remember the event, okay, it is still emotional mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess it's the same thing would be true if you were alive and could remember Pearl Harbor,
yeah.
where you were, or when John F. Kennedy was shot. I can still vaguely remember my mom breaking down and crying when JFK was shot. So what I'm going to say, like, there's a movie about Flight 93, I think. Mm-hmm. It's the one that Haylett's role. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Crash in the Field.
Yeah,
Todd,
Crash in the Field.
Todd, what was Todd?
Beamer?
I forget
Beamer?
That.
Beamer, yeah.
Yeah, Todd Beamer. There's a movie. I still can't watch that movie. It's just emotional. Mm-hmm. So and so that's what the commentary was mm-hmm. trying to say is young people need to be taught it, but it's very emotional for people who were alive and could remember, to your mm-hmm. point.
Yeah. I was 19 years old. I was in my dorm room that morning. Classes were canceled later that day. And talking about Pearl Harbor, remember how for a few days it was referred to on like Fox News Channel and some other networks as Pearl Harbor 2 because 9/11 had not yet been coined as right. a phrase or whatnot. I tell my daughters about it. We usually talk about it every 9/11 and I kind of, it's my, I guess, tradition. I don't know if that's the best word to use here, but I listen to the Alan Jackson song that he recorded, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning? I usually yeah. listen to that every year on 9/11. But do check us out for AFN.net for radio and print coverages. We are trying to do some follow-ups on the story I just played a clip from. So we're talking about kind of the spiritual impact that something like this had on America, and we're doing more stories about schools that are doing observances or not doing observances because of walking on eggshell feelings that some schools have.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Well, let's. I do want to mention this real quick. In terms of the debate tonight, Vice President Harris and her campaign have tried to say that they are paving a new way forward. That was the word they used on their website yesterday when they finally put policies and agendas out there for Vice President Harris, as if she's not already been in office somehow, some way, and had an impact on policy. A lot of people are trying to say that she shouldn't be held accountable for what Joe Biden has done in office in terms of what he has done maybe wrongly with the economy and policies or whatnot. Yesterday, during the White House press briefing, Karine Jean-Pierre said that Biden and Harris are still a partnership here. I can play a clip. It's about 30 seconds. Clip 4.
But we want to make sure that people understand, the American people understand, that this continues to be a partnership. This is a partnership. And we've said that before. We've said that throughout the last 3.5 years. The president respects her leadership. He respects her bold policy ideas, as I was speaking to Jackie about back and forth moments ago, and he supports that. And I think it's important for the American people to be very understand that, to be very clear. And that's one thing that we want to be very clear about from here.
I will say this. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Karine
Jean-Pierre.
Karine Jean-Pierre. There has been nobody in the history of the world that wants to be clearer.
Yes. And who has been less clear. Yeah.
She can do the clear-eyed commercial.
She could.
Right?
Yeah.
She needs to be a spokesperson for Visine.
That's it. Yeah.
Let me be clear.
She's clear. She wants to be clear.
Wants to be clear. Let me be clear.
She's got enough confidence, so she doesn't feel the need to say, I'm going to be crystal clear. Your yes be yes and your no's be no's.
Are you making fun of my nose?
No.
What is this? Wildman's on both sides.
I've been on your team this whole segment.
No, I know. You have.
Not till next one, though.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back with more of Today's Issues after this break.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening, Tim, with Ed and Wesley. And in studio with us for this the next segment, two guests we have. First of all, Debbie Withnow. Debbie is president of iVoter Guide. And good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Tim.
You are from the San Antonio area, right?
Austin, Texas.
Austin. The Austin area.
Well, I'm not from there, but I live there.
Okay. Is Austin really weird?
Uh-huh. And proud of
what
it.
They, and they're proud of, it, too, aren't
proud
they?
Proud of it.
But they do have a lot of, what, great restaurants and places
live
to visit.
Live music is what it's known for, and music festivals, film festivals. We got an F1 track.
Yeah. That's the
European racetrack.
Yeah, European race. The that's weird. And that
is
weird.
Weird.
I think it should be American racing
in the middle of Texas.
NASCAR.
NASCAR. Yeah. They kind of think of themselves as the San Francisco of Texas, kind of.
It's pretty blue.
Yeah. But you get out of the town. That's where normal people live, right?
Well, and I try to stay at home.
Right.
So
right.
There you go.
You have your own enclave of normal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, also in studio with us is Philip Jeregi. Ed, can you spell Philip's name without looking?
P-H-I-L-L-I-P.
perfect.
That nicely done.
J-A-U-R-E-G-I.
U-I.
Did I get that right?
U-I. Better. Close enough. Close
I was
enough.
Just asking for Philip.
Okay. Well, I got
well,
that part.
That.
I got
okay.
that
you
right.
passed that.
Anyway, Philip is Philip Jeregi. He's senior counsel and director of the Center for Judicial Review. He hails from Birmingham, AL, and drove over. Good to see you, Philip.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
So, Ed, no doubt, has gone his whole life having to spell his name out twice for people in important situations. You, Philip Jeregi, you've done the same, no doubt.
Huh? I've done it. Yes, and yes. Typically if somebody misses it, nobody knows.
That's right.
Which matters.
I learned when I came to the South. Now, my wife is from Mississippi. We were married in 81, and I've lived in the South since 85. All of it except for 1 year in Mississippi.
Right.
And I discovered very quickly that most people in Mississippi give up on a name if it's more than two syllables.
And ends in a vowel.
And it's like they get the first two syllables, and then they just give up, and they mumble the rest of it.
But then you know it's you, because it happens all the time, right?
Listen, at the doc for a checkup or whatever, I'll hear, Ed, that here. I don't torment people with my name.
Right.
Well, it's not every day we get to have guests in studio, and our guests today are on campus because we're producing another AFA at Home. Many of our listening audience are familiar with this AFA at Home episode 6, and the title of the episode is What Direction Will America Take on Election Day 2024? And they're going to be here recording to discuss that, and we will release that episode.
Is this a video?
It's a video.
It is.
And then we will release that video episode on October 17th at 6 p.m. Central Time, and it will be streaming on our platform for free for a couple of days, maybe a week or so, before we move it behind our Great Commission partner paywall.
This is going to be a great video. These AFA at Home are kind of like a living room conversation. Also, guests for this discussing the 2024 election will be Sandy Rios, Dr. Jameson Taylor, Rick Green, also, as well as Debbie and Philip. And so this video will be available on our streaming platform for anyone who wants to. So if you want some insights into the upcoming election, that'll be the place to check it out starting October 17th.
Yep. Hey, Debbie, tell us what iVoter Guide is and does.
iVoter Guide is a website that's a voter guide. So you go to iVoterGuide.com and enter your address, and you will get a personalized, detailed, but easy-to-use voter guide to give you information about the candidates and information that are on your ballot. So it covers federal candidates, it covers state legislative candidates, covers some school board candidates. We're going to cover ballot measures. We'll cover judges that are at the statewide level for Supreme Court. And it's really not like any other voter guide you've ever used. I encourage you to go to iVoterGuide.com and look at it, because it's not just, have they answered their positions on five different issues. It's who they given money to. How have they voted on legislation if they've been in office? Who's endorsed them? As well as about 35 different questions on issues. So it's really broad spectrum. You can see the data for yourself, but we make it real easy to use because not only do we research the candidates, but we evaluate them. We assign them a rating from verified conservative to verified liberal.
I thought Christians weren't supposed to judge.
Well, these Christians do.
This is discernment, not judging. Oh, we're not saying what's right and wrong, but we're just saying where they land on the scale so that voters can have information to know where they stand and which candidates are more likely to share their biblical values before they go into polling place.
It's very helpful. If you go to iVoterGuide.com, there's an interactive map. So all you do is you point to your state and you click, and it tells you upcoming elections, recent elections, resources like register to vote, find your polling station, get absentee ballots. One of the things I know, Debbie, is that sometimes Christians who suddenly realize that they should be involved in politics, the least of which is to vote, they're embarrassed to ask. I'm not even registered to vote. I'm embarrassed to ask anyone, because then they'll know I haven't been voting. But you can just go here and click on register to vote. And
is that simple?
Yeah,
that's simple. On the homepage, go to iVoterGuide.com. Yes. Scroll down, you'll see a map of the United States. Find your state. Click on your state, and you'll see a link there to see all of the candidates in your state, but also register to vote. Find your polling place. You can't go vote if you don't know where that is. And honestly, I would recommend that when it's time to vote and we've released the voter guides, to enter your address into the top box in that, because that way we'll give you a personalized ballot. You don't need to know I'm in Congressional District 3 and State Senate District 2. And that way it's personalized and you know really what's going to be on your ballot. But the resources are there on that map. We've also got educational articles on the insights and articles. There's just a lot of resources.
Now, you're a humble lady, okay?
Of course.
So I'm going to say this. This is the best voter guide there is.
Well, I didn't create this. God did. So okay. Give him the glory. Yep.
iVoterGuide.com. Just the letter I?
The letter I. Think internet voter guide.
Okay.
Or individualized voter guide.
iVoterGuide.com is the website. How many people have used it? Do we have any know?
Well, in 2022, we know that we had about 7 million voters who were educated by going to iVoterGuide.com. We're hoping to go beyond that this year. And those who are listening, if you find it helpful, tell your friends and your family.
Amen.
iVoterGuide.com, iVoterGuide.com. That's under the umbrella of AFA Action. So it's part of our organization here. Philip, tell us about the Center for Judicial Review.
Sure. Center for Judicial Renewal is AFA under AFA Action, and we're
so it's
focused.
Not review.
It's not review.
Yeah,
that's all right. It's renewal.
I knew, but our somebody who will go unnamed, who's sitting in the studio, typed it in wrong.
Right,
and thus so, I read it wrong.
So I'm going to say who it was. No, I'm not.
Ed.
So anyway, it doesn't matter who's at fault here, even if they're in the room. It, what matters is that you're the president, you're director of Center for Judicial Renewal.
Exactly. And I'm glad we missed that word because it actually helps us highlight what the center's about. You know, we thought about it. Center for, what do you want to name it? Judicial Renewal. We're not trying to create a revolution here or create some new concept. We're renewing the original purpose of the judiciary, which is to decide cases, not to legislate from the bench.
Right.
And for several decades now, we've had courts that aren't just deciding cases. They're deciding the most important political issues in our nation. And we're turning away from that now. And I'm very excited. We see the court continue to have some bad decisions from time to time. But when you look at it.
Supreme Court.
Thank you. But when you look at it overall, I like to think of the Supreme Court somewhat like the prodigal son. They've been in a very far country doing some really bad things for a few years. They're on their way home, but it's not an instantaneous journey. They're in a far country. It's taken a while. And we see them take two steps forward, one back. But we're seeing renewal. We're seeing the court come back to its proper role of deciding cases. And so I'm excited about it. And we continue to research that, Tim, because we will have more vacancies on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before, and I'm fixing to go deep here, so get ready.
Go for it.
In the hierarchy,
step out and get some coffee.
What now?
Step out and get some coffee.
You don't want to miss this.
Okay.
In the hierarchy of the universe, there is the Lord God Almighty. Okay.
Amen.
The Lord God Almighty, and I mean that seriously, is over the universe. After that, you come down to planet Earth. Probably the most powerful people on planet Earth are federal judges. Okay, after that. Now, I'm using a little bit of fun and exaggeration, but I'm making a point. The power of the Supreme Court and then the federal bench under the Supreme Court, that federal judiciary system, they have enormous impact on our country and our lives, don't they, Philip?
They do, and they have since the 1960s, deciding some of the most important cases.
For better or for worse, they have impact, yeah.
Exactly, and doing it, Tim, when they don't have authority to do it. They have authority to decide cases, but when it comes to deciding the most important issues like prayer in school, let's take the abortion case, 1973, 50 years ago, that case was based upon something that's not in the Constitution. The Supreme Court did not have the authority to rule that there was a right to abortion because there's not one in the Constitution. Yet for 50 years, we lived under that. But you could pick area after area, pornography, religious freedom, where we were literally living, 330 million Americans, under a rule made by as few as five lawyers who didn't have the authority to make us live that
Sometimes
way.
Sometimes by a one-vote margin.
Exactly.
Like the same-sex marriage.
And that's why when Tim says they had the most authority, they did for 50 years. They have had that much authority. That's changing, thank God, and it's going to change more as the Supreme Court gets better, I believe.
Yeah, let me ask you this. I think most people know this, especially if they listen to AFR, our program. I just can't stress this enough. Whoever the president is for the next 4 years, whether it be Harris or Trump, will appoint a hundred or more,
In the hundreds
of federal judges over the next 4 years, and maybe a handful of them that may be stopped because they're so far radical. On the left, I'm talking about. On the right, which Trump draws his judges from, for the most part, you know, are constitutional conservatives,
right?
Who don't want to make law from the bench. Okay, that's been the clash between conservatives and liberals for a long time.
That's right.
So I just want to stress, and they have lifetime appointments, right? Lifetime appointments.
They do.
So whoever the next president will be will have an impact on our country for the next 10 or 20, maybe even 30 years.
That's right.
Through their judicial appointments, right?
Exactly. And, you know, think about it. If you don't even have children yet, your grandchildren will be living under the rules made by the judges that are appointed over the next 4 years.
Right, right. And so whoever the president is, that's why it's so critical who it is, and they'll appoint the federal judges, including Supreme Court justices, for the next 4 years. Debbie, when you talk to folks who maybe engage with our voter guide, are there one or two or three issues that come up that people care the most about? This is mostly Christians who are engaging in this.
Well, as you know, we're a Christian ministry.
Yeah, sure.
So the issues that, I mean, if life is at the top of the list for everybody. Religious freedom, freedom to speak is right up there at the top. And right now, and you know, they're all voters. So the economy and immigration are top issues for people who use iVoter Guide. And we look at
all of those.
Is that
part of the survey?
Yep. We have immigration questions. We have national security questions. We have economy, healthcare, equality, every topic you can think of is covered on our survey. We go through a pretty intense process of updating that survey for every election cycle and trying to get the current issues. But you know what's interesting on our survey is not just those topics, but we try to get through their values. We ask them spiritual questions. You know, what are your spiritual beliefs and values? We ask them about, you know, do you want boys and girls bathrooms? Is marriage a man and woman? So not only what you might call political issues, but we're really trying to flavor that rating with their worldview. Do they have a biblical worldview?
For those that go to iVoter Guide to use it, what's one of the most common either confusions or first questions they may have that you can help answer in the event that they go there? Does that make sense?
Well, if you go there right now and you enter your address, you probably won't see your voter guide because we're in the process of evaluating thousands of candidates across the nation. So you'll see maybe a date of when we expect to release your general election voter guide. But I would encourage people, there might be a pop-up or a form to enter your email address. And we make that easy. We're just going to let you know when we release it so you don't have to remember to come back. So I would encourage people to sign up and join that email list, and then we'll let you know when we've released the voter guide in your state.
In 2022, iVoter Guide researched 13,000 candidates.
Yeah.
That's a lot of candidates.
We're probably doing just a little bit more this year.
Yeah.
So, and right now. So pray for the team.
So if you go there right now and yours is not available right now, it will be available before you vote.
Yes, we've only released about 12 of the general election voter guides, and voting's not for 2 months, right? That's early voting doesn't even start for a couple weeks. But we are rolling them out. It will be out before early voting starts in your state.
Good.
We will have half of them out by the end of this month and obviously the rest before early voting.
There was a pop-up when I went there. There was a pop-up that says to enter your address and email address.
Did you do it?
I didn't. I think I'm already signed up.
You already signed up.
Yeah. But it doesn't know that. It didn't know that when I came on this computer. So there was a pop-up, and you can enter your email address, your name, and it will send you an alert.
And it's asking for your address so that we can let you know, like, let's say next year there's a special election in your area. We will let you know when that election happens. So that's why we ask for your address. It's just so we can personalize the communication.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've been talking to Debbie Wuth now, and she's president of iVoter Guide, and then Philip Jeragi, who's senior counsel and director of the Center for Judicial Renewal. One other question I have for you, Philip. I know you and some other of our team members who have been evaluating already potential Supreme Court justices, federal judiciary appointments for the next administration. Now, from where we're coming from, our perspective, that's only going to be possible if Trump wins. If Harris wins, she's just going to appoint a bunch of far lefties.
I don't think she'll like our list.
No, I don't think no, that's a good, yes.
That's a good
she's
thing.
She's not going to like your list. But let me ask you this about Trump. Do you think he will, last time he did listen to conservatives in terms of who to appoint, right?
Right.
Do you think he'll be, if he wins, do you think he'll be open to that again? I mean, go ahead.
I think he has to, because a president he has a lot of things to deal with, right? So he has to rely on his team. People that he'll be looking to are his White House counsel, the main attorney at the White House, and then also the Department of Justice. There's a division there, the Office of Legal Policy. So part of what we're doing, Tim, is not just researching the Supreme Court prospects, but researching people who would serve in the administration. It's really important, right?
I thought Trump said he didn't know anything about that. Is that Project 2025?
That's Project 2025, exactly.
He didn't know anything about that, by the way.
He didn't, but he will need some help, and I think a lot of the you know, whether
what
they
was
come
he
from,
so worried about that for? Trump, I'm talking yeah, about. He's like, I don't think, know anything about this. I have nothing to do with this. I'm going like, what is wrong with Project 2025 that you want to just distance yourself from it?
It's a brilliant project. It has to happen because part of the problem last time is President Trump wasn't ready to appoint the people he needed.
He appointed
a lot of bad folks who turned on him.
Right.
But I think what happened was he's in the middle of a campaign. He wants to talk about issues over here, and the left is bringing up issues about Project 2025. And I think it was a campaign decision. I'm not agreeing with it.
Right.
I think he was just saying, look, I don't want to talk about that. I want to fight over here.
Okay.
So, but he has to get good counsel from conservatives.
The point of Project 2025, as I understand it, basically was to plan that if President Trump won again, that the staffing he would get in all the agencies would be consistent with his political ideology.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, and every administration that I'm sure that Harris is, you know, Vice President Harris and her team, they're if they win, they want to be ready to staff the administration with people that believe like they do. Sometimes Trump, he overreacts to criticism and it's unnecessary. Guess we all have our good. I call him good Trump, bad Trump. Anyway, I do think that should he win, I do think that he will. He'll have to surround himself with people who, like last time, like you said, last time in Trump's administration, he had a lot of folks who maybe weren't working for him, and he didn't know it. Right.
Exactly.
Do you think that's what happened?
It's what happened. We saw tons of examples of it.
Okay.
And so having the right people, but then also the right names to look at for the Supreme Court.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why we've done that deep research to spend our own time to be good stewards to make sure that there is a great list.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Philip.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Debbie.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we look forward to the Wesley. Philip and Debbie are in town to record.
Yeah, they're in town along with Sandy Rios, Dr. Jameson Taylor, and Rick Green. They are recording this afternoon for AFA at Home episode number 6 that will be released on October the 7th. It'll be
17th.
Streamed. I'm sorry, you're right. October 17th, and it will be streamed on October 17th. The title of episode 6 is What Direction Will America Take on Election Day 2024?
Yeah, and it's going to be hosted by Walker Wildman.
Right.
Yeah. I wasn't going to give him any credit.
Yes. Well, okay. People will think it's you anyway.
Okay.
They always confuse Walker and Wesley.
That's right. And I'll take it.
We'll be mentioning that closer to the release.
Sure. We'll remind everyone.
That's a video series that we produce called AFA at Home. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris can come back into the studio now and bring us some Chris always
K-Love News.
Yes. Well, yes.
K-Love News.
Positive and encouraging.
By the way, I am looking forward to this AFA at Home episode. This is going to be, I think it's going to be good, and it's a great way to link it up with iVoter Guide, get folks involved, get them registered, get them giving them opportunities to find out about the elections, which this research covers all the way down, in some cases, to local
you know,
elections.
I don't think most people understand. I'm just offering observation, not a criticism, but I don't think most people understand. I think the most important role of the president. It's hard to say. It was commander in chief, number one, of the United States military. So that's every day. Whoever the president is has to be briefed by the national security team on the threats to our country, both domestically and around the world. Right.
Right.
That's after you have your cup of coffee, right? Before you get your eggs.
Yeah.
To start the day, so that's a extremely serious responsibility, no doubt about it. But in terms of legacy, I don't think people really fully appreciate how important it is, who the president is in terms of appointing federal judges. Because, yes, the high-profile cases make it to the Supreme Court, and most all of us can name most of the Supreme Court justices, if not all of them, right? So they get the attention. But did you know that the Supreme Court only hears like 3% mm-hmm. of all the cases that are brought up to their attention.
Right.
97% of them, they say, we're not going to hear this case. So whatever the lower court says stands. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So a president not only appoints the Supreme Court justices, but all those hundreds and hundreds, I don't know how many there are total, of federal judges that sit on benches in districts, what we call, is that what they call them? Like the first.
Well, there's appellate courts.
First circuit. No, they call it circuit.
Yeah.
So you have example, our state, Mississippi, is in the Fifth Circuit with Louisiana and Texas. So you have a federal circuit that hears cases, and most of them are decided either by an individual federal judge, most decisions, or they make it up to the circuit, like to the Fifth Circuit.
So there's 179 Court of Appeals, and there's 677 U.S. District Courts.
Okay. The U.S. District Federal Courts.
Mm-hmm. 677?
And all those judges have lifetime appointments.
Right.
So they only required to step down if they're convicted of a crime, some kind of a felony or something. But other than that, they can stay. They stay on until they want to retire or resign. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.